Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome in over the Tailgaters Barbecue Tailgate Show. Sorry, I got a little late start tonight. I had a little technical glitch. We had to get figured out. Couldn't been trying there about the last hour, but we got it figured out. So we should be coming through loud and clear, hopefully, tonight. Pretty Monday night here in the big town of Aiken, South Carolina. Hope you had a great weekend out there. It was an extremely nice fall weekend to do about anything outside, especially some. If you're at a barbecue competition somewhere or just grilling out for the family or maybe a catering job or maybe taking in some college football. Good weekend for the two main state teams, South Carolina and Clemson. Both Gamecocks got back in the win column with a win on Furman on Saturday. Kind of expected, I think. Not a big shocker there. Clemson went up to Boston and had her hands full, quite honestly. Boston College had a pretty good chance to win that game late in the fourth quarter, but Tiger defense held them off, and the Tigers kind of squeaked by with another one. So it seems to be right now kind of the year for those guys. They finding ways to win, not playing great football, but doing what they got to do to win. So and that's what you got to do, obviously. But good game up there in Boston. Not the best of weather. I think it started kind of raining late in the game. A beautiful day though at in Columbia and pretty much all of South Carolina and I guess probably most of the Southeast. I think I know South Carolina, Georgia area was very nice. So hopefully you were able to be outside somehow, some way. Not a lot of barbecue activity in the state of South Carolina this past weekend. I don't think there were any SCBA contests. I don't think there were any SBN contests. I think there was a KCBS contest over in Rome, Georgia. I think might have been the closest one to us. But a lot of comps though coming up here in the next couple of weeks as we kind of get into the fall weather and pretty much mid October here and. A lot of good ones coming up, though, taking advantage of this nice weather and so forth. So hopefully if you're out there, want to call in and talk about an upcoming contest, maybe cooking in, or maybe one you've cooked in the last couple of weeks. Remember, our number is 347-202-0263. That's 347-202-0263. We'd love to have you to call in and talk some barbecue. We'll talk some college football. I haven't had many guys. Or folks call in about college football. Would love to talk about the season. We'll kind of hit the halfway point here, and it's starting to take on some pattern here about narrowing down this. I think it's next Tuesday where the top 25 comes out as far as the selection committee is concerned. So of course, a ways to go still with that, but. If you look at the top four right now, you still got to look at, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Mississippi State was off this past weekend, and, of course, Ole Miss had a very solid victory at home against Tennessee. You know, you gotta keep Florida State in there. They had a kind of a controversial win by some people, but it was the right call. You didn't see that. They had a an offensive pass interference, kind of a strange penalty to see called, but it was pretty it's pretty blatant, quite honestly. That actually had run that same play, I think, opposite side in the first half, the first quarter, and scored. Ref caught this one. Actually, it was two receivers almost side by side that were blocking on the play. And, you know, quite honestly, if they would have sold it a little bit better, really just got in the guy's way, turned around, put their hands up in the air, done something to make it look like they were on a running a pattern, it probably would have sold the play better. But, I mean, they were in full blocking mode. So, you know, probably a good thing for Florida State that the ref saw that and called it, which was the right call, because the Florida State, excuse me, Notre Dame receiver was wide open. So Florida State really, I think, kind of got caught caught napping on the play, and you know, luckily because of the pick play, as some people call it, and call it offensive interference, but really it's more of a pick play. You don't see that call very often, but. Save the day for the Seminoles, so Florida State hangs on and takes the hours. Hours lose the first game of the year, and quite honestly, probably if they somehow run the table, they probably can still be considered in that top four, just from you know, maybe just a one loss, and you know, that one loss being to the Seminoles. So the Hours got a lot to play for still. That was obviously hurt them some, not getting the W, but to lose the way they did probably should help them down the road. As long as Florida State keeps winning, that will be a good thing, I think, for Notre Dame as well. So, you know, right now I think you got to look at, like we said, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, probably Florida State, and then, you know, right now I think you got to probably got to sneak the Crimson Tide back in there, and they had an extremely huge victory on Saturday. This totally dominated, blew A&M off the field. Wasn't even close. I mean, they beat them down like a redhead stepchild. Probably the worst whooping A&M's had in a long time. I know that, I think that was the first shutout for Kevin Sumlin. But a huge victory for the Crimson Tide. So quite honestly, I have not even seen the rankings or seen what some of the other prognosticators are. Media guys are saying, but that would be my guess right now, is the, you know, probably Mississippi State first, and then Florida State second, and maybe Ole Miss third, and then probably Alabama fourth. You know, you're going to have, you know, probably in that second tier, you're probably going to have Auburn, and maybe Oregon, I think, is kind of building up a little head of steam. Of course, Michigan State sitting back there, and, you know, Ohio State, everybody kind of forgot about those guys, but they've been taking care of business. And just got that one loss, and unfortunately, it's kind of an ugly loss, and Virginia Tech has been struggling. So the Buckeyes are going to need to run the table and have a little help, I think. I think Michigan State will probably be the front runner on the Big Ten, but, yeah, Michigan State will have a chance to – Ohio State will have a chance to take care of that, since they'll be playing head-to-head. And a couple of others out there, and obviously as well, fighting, you know, for that top four spot. But yeah, we got a lot of games to go, and of course you still got a lot of these teams to play each other. That's the that's what they talk about, the SEC beating up on each other. We got Alabama and Auburn still to play, and Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and heck, I think we still got Mississippi State and Alabama. So a lot of things still to a lot of games to be played. And of course you got the Bulldogs. I guess you got to look at the Bulldogs. Georgia maybe kind of sneaking in there. You know, if they run the table, they've got some they got a couple of big games on the schedule still, and if they can run the table, and of course the thing for Georgia is going to hurt them. They're going to end up grabbing the SEC championship game, and of course you would think one of those teams from the West would be favored. But quite honestly, Georgia really controls their own destiny. If they can run out and win that SEC West game, or excuse me, that SEC championship, then obviously they will no doubt be in that top four. You know, they took another loss to my Gamecocks. But to run the table and then beat the, you know, beat the team in the West in the championship game, that would be lot on the resume, so I would think they'd probably have to be in that top four. But that's what makes it fun. We got a lot of football still to be played. A lot of things are going to happen. There's going to be some changes, and obviously these four will not stay the same because they're going to end up playing each other. So somebody's going to be certainly out in the cold. The Crimson Tide obviously can't afford another loss. I don't know if a two-loss team will make it in that that Final Four. There'll probably be maybe a couple of undefeateds, and there'll be too many good one-loss teams, I think, in there to see a two-loss team. But you never know. It depends on what happens with the other one. So we'll see what happens there. So anyway, but give us a call if you want to talk some college. Love to talk to college football, whether it be SEC or ACC or don't have a lot of knowledge on the Big 12 and Big 10 and those guys and Pac-12, but man, I'll give it a shot. I know a little bit about those. Most of mine is in the Big 12. Excuse me, in the SEC and the ACC. So we'd love to hear about, maybe talk about your favorite team, or let's talk about this college football playoff that's coming up. Going to be exciting, as we know. This will be the first year of the 14 playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see how this works out, and maybe we'll go a couple of years, and who knows? Then they may expand it to 8 teams, but I think they'll want to. We'll see how this 4-team, works out first, and then go from there. So, but it looks to be an exciting second half to the season as these teams try to try to stay in that top four. And like we said before, it's kind of shameful that SEC, they're going to be their own worst enemy, but kind of beating up on each other, unfortunately. And like I said, some of those teams are still, they've still got to play. So, it's going to be interesting to see, who's going to be the guy that stands on top of the mountain. Somebody's going to take the fall. So, when you look at the quality of the teams in the SEC West, you want to believe that there's only four in the college playoffs, but it's a shame we can't get two of them in there, because you think two of them would be worthy of it, but by the time we get to the end of the season, we're gonna have maybe one guy left standing, or quite honestly, there may not be a single undefeated team left in the SEC. So there's gonna be some really, really good one loss teams. So again, if we have the type of year where it gives the opportunity to have some one loss teams in there, then maybe the SEC can sneak in there. But what's your be curious to hear people after what your thoughts is on that. Getting two SEC teams in there. The SEC kind of has that their reputation. People kind of want to knock the old bully, beat the old bully down. And quite honestly, the SEC's had a pretty dominant here in the last 6-7 years, bowl game wise, and of course national championship wise. So a lot of teams are wanting to see some other folks in there, but quite honestly, they've been so good. So it's kind of hard to discount the old SEC. But I was just checking on the barbecue side here. There was a competition over in Rome, Georgia. I think Smoke and Thunder. I think they actually tied that in with some type of air show or something. There, it's pretty nice. But congrats to Checkered Pig, man. That guy's having a heck of a year. Actually, like, he scored over 700, so hit the 700 club again. But congratulations to Checkered Pig. It looks like he won by about 7 points. So kind of standing out there all by himself there, and had a couple teams pretty close there at second and third. But congrats to Checkered Pig. He's having a heck of a year. I don't know. See if we can look real quick. He's got to be in the top 10, I would think. KCBS rankings, or I don't know if he's maybe cooked it enough. But, yeah, there he is, six in the country right there. Checkered Pig, I think he's out of Virginia. So, you know, good for him. What a heck of a year he's having. That was probably a pretty good little drive to drive from Virginia all the way over to Rome, Georgia. I think Rome, Georgia is a good 4.5 hours from Aiken. So, boy, he had probably about a, gosh, I'm probably figuring about a 9-10 hour ride for that guy, but probably was worth it getting top spot over there. But, you know, also, of course, the big big news, I guess, from the barbecue side this week or this upcoming week, that is, we've got the Jack Daniels Invitational is taking place this weekend up there in Lynchburg, Tennessee. Very prestigious event to be invited to the Jack, as the name says. It's an invitational only, so it's not like something you just kind of pay your entry fee like a lot of the contests that we go cook in. It is an invitational, so you've got to basically win your way in there. I don't know a lot of the details about that. I think the two things that I'm most familiar with, I believe, if you win 7 grand champions, and that's on the KCBS side, and I think it has to be a contest that qualifies it to be a Jack qualifier. And I think for a Jack qualifier, I think it's got to be a 4-meat contest. I think there's got to be at least 25 cookers, I believe. So if you win 7 of those, that would qualify it, which would be a heck of a feat. And then also they have a basically kind of a, for lack of a better word, I guess it's kind of a lottery system. Basically, when you win a qualifier, you know, say you win 3 of them, you basically get, I think it's kind of called a balls. You get basically 3. You know, you basically get 3 draws. So you know, maybe a state that has, say, 15 teams, and there's 26 different draws. You know, some teams may have more than one draw, but anyway, they'll, you know, they'll draw. If you're the lucky one to get the draw, then you get to go. So there may be a couple other ways to qualify, but that's 2 of the ones I'm most familiar with. But that's a very prestigious, you know, quite honestly. I don't think money-wise, it's not like it's a huge huge money event, even though I'm sure it's a pretty nice prize. It may be like $10,000, that's nothing to sneeze at, but it's more the prestige, the honor to be invited there and you know, to go cook in it. That is the main thing. And, of course, I'm sure that leads to bigger, better things, and we can have a big big finish there for our sponsors and so forth that'll really help out. So good luck to all those teams that got their ticket punts, per se, to go to the Jack Daniels Invitational. Hopefully your weather will be nice for you up there in Lynchburg. I know it's a little cooler usually up in the mountains, but that ought to be pretty nice. But best of luck to Michael Harmon, Palmetto Smokehouse. Was a qualifier, I think. I'm not sure if he actually was representing the state of South Carolina or Georgia. I don't know if I really understand some of the ins and outs of it, but I know he's going and qualified for it, so that's the main thing. Just not sure if he's representing South Carolina or Georgia. But best of luck to Michael heading up to the Jack up there in Lynchburg, Tennessee. I know that'll be quite a experience. I've never had a chance to cook there. Obviously qualified, but I did actually go to it as a visitor about 3 or 4 years ago. A group of us going up to the South Carolina Vanderbilt game, actually football. We stopped off there and a really nice day on a Friday, and I got to walk around and kind of take in some of the talking to some other teams, I should say, and visiting with folks, and just a neat layout that they have there, and you know, everybody kind of partnered in there together, like a normal barbecue contest, obviously. So I'm sure it's a lot of fun for all those. They have a little international flair there, as well as some international teams. So, and then obviously, I'm sure they have a tremendous crowd that comes there as well. So should be hopefully have some good weather up there. Like I said, I know it'll be a little chilly up there in the mountains of Lynchburg. So maybe you want to sip on some Jack Daniels up there. But anyway, hang on, we got a caller coming in here. Let's bring them up. Hopefully our board is working properly tonight. We had a couple issues. 864-993, we got you on the live here.
Hey, Chris, Backwood Barbecue.
Hey, Mr. Culbertson, how are you, sir?
Good. How about y'all?
We're doing fine. We've just been talking a little college football and not a lot of action going on around South Carolina this past week as far as barbecue. I don't think there was any SCBA or SBN, or I don't think there was even a KCBS contest. I think the closest one was over there in Rome, Georgia, I believe. And been talking a little bit about the Jack. Of course, we've got one of our fellow SCBA competitors, Michael Harmon, so wishing him the best of luck up there. But always should be a lot of fun for him. Kind of a unique contest up there. Or I don't think it's as much the money, even though there is some money to be won, obviously, but I think it's more the prestige and honor and opportunity to cook up there. So but have you ever been up there to the event, Gene?
No, I haven't. I talked to him earlier this morning and asked him, was he getting ready? He said he's going to pull out around Wednesday. I think he said 95, 96 teams up there this weekend.
That sounds about right. I know that when we went there, I was just a visitor, went there to check it out. I think I remember there being about 90 teams. I think it varies a little bit each year. I don't know if it's because of a couple more international teams, or I don't know if I understand totally how the qualifying system. And I know there's usually, I think, a team per state, or you get a certain number of draws depending on how many times you qualified. And of course, if you win, seven contests that are qualifiers, then that's an automatic. So I guess if you had, I guess now that I think about it, I guess the more teams you had that won seven, I guess that could vary your number a little bit. But I think that's about right though each year, that they're somewhere around 85 to 90 teams. So yeah, I talked to him actually earlier today myself, and he had called me, and I know he's really looking forward to it, and should be a heck of an experience. I know when we went there to check it out, it was pretty neat how they had it set up, and really pretty setting there. Some of the teams kind of back there in the back corner, and they got a neat little stream that kind of runs through there. So it's a beautiful beautiful setting there, and of course you're right there at Lynchburg, so kind of neat. You can just walk right there to town and walk around and check things out and all. So what a neat thing. So if it's one of those things, barbecue wise, if you've never maybe you haven't qualified for it, it's certainly one to go check out and see. I just pulled it up for you, and there was 97 teams there last year, so that probably is the number somewhere from 90 to 100. Obviously, everybody knows Cool Smoke was the champion last year. I see. I didn't realize how good he finished, but Jim Berg, Killer Bees, had a nice finish. He was a top 10. He actually finished 8th, so that was a very nice finish as well. I think they got a couple of other I know they have a dessert contest. I see they've got a sauce contest. And I think, too, I think don't they have some kind of requirement that supposedly, I don't know how they monitor this, but is it not whatever your turn is, it has to have Jack Daniels whiskey in there?
I think you're right, yeah.
I don't think it really matters how much or, what part or whatever, but I think some people, maybe they just put up, a couple of dashes or, whatever, almost like shaking at the basketball, maybe just kind of put a couple of splashes in there as part of the aura of it, I guess. So, but you know what, probably not, might be a bad idea, a good little Jack Daniels in there, probably wouldn't taste bad, I don't think, so, especially on the sauce, so. But yeah, hopefully the weather will be good for those guys up there. We're up there, it was very nice, and it gets a little chilly there at night, but if you ever get a chance to go up there, it's a lot of fun. In fact, we've gone through and done the Jack Daniels tour to distillery, and that's a lot of fun as well. It's pretty cool. They do a real nice job of kind of taking you through all the components, I guess, per se, Jack Daniels. They show you actually where the water comes. It's kind of a neat thing. There's this huge mountain, it's a pretty good-sized mountain as you're looking way back. And then there's just a little area right there, and it looks like a little, you know, kind of like a rock pond, quite honestly. And you look back in that thing, and as you look back in there, it gets skinnier and skinnier in there because the mystery is they can't ever track where exactly that water's coming from, but it's very, very clear and very pure water, and supposedly all of the water they use to process all the jet nanos comes right out of that that water flowing from that mountain. So it's that's pretty neat. But man, they take you through the whole process, and you know, as far as even burning the burning the wood down, and how they use that, and doing the mash, and it's pretty cool, seeing the process and so forth. And then they actually, Lynchburg, strange enough, is actually, it's a dry county up there. It's kind of weird that they got the distillery there, but they have a special license or something from the city council or something. So there's two special bottles of liquor that they can sell there. And I guess it's still that way. I'll never forget. I bought one for my dad for Christmas as one of his Christmas presents. And, this has probably been, about 8 or 9 years ago. And I'll never forget my dad. We went to a Carolina football. I think it was a bowl game. And I remember my dad always telling me, he said that was the best liquor he'd ever had in his entire life. So it was, one of those, reserve or special edition, however they want to call it. They had like a special little medallion and tag on it and so forth. So pretty smooth stuff. So pretty neat. Hey, Alexander, Jen, I think we got our man, Mr. Lee, alias Blowing Smoke. Lee, you there, sir?
Yeah, man, what's up?
Good, man. What's up, man? Have you ever been up to, never been up to Lynchburg?
Yeah, when I lived in Dalton, Georgia, we used to ride up through Chattanooga and all that. So we rode up there on the bikes one day and went to Jack Daniels. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a neat little thing. I mean, I'd say ours is about 6-7 years ago, I guess, but we did the tour and all. But I thought it was pretty cool kind of hearing all the history and going through the process and how they, burn the wood down and, the barrels and so forth. And pretty cool. I mean, they take you through the pretty much the whole process from where, showing you where the water comes that they start with, and then pretty much all the way to the bottling and the cases and so forth. And I thought it was kind of interesting that we just went up to the Kentucky, up to the Carolina football game up there, and I went to the Wild Turkey Distillery, and it was interesting that because I think at Jack Daniels, I think they reused their barrels, and then I think once they once they've reached a point where they can't, I'm sure they get problems with them or whatever, I think they actually bust those things up, and of course that's where you get the Jack Daniel wood blocks or whatever. But anyway, I thought it was interesting at the Wild Turkey, they have one company that supplies all the barrels for them, that they get the barrels, and then they only use their barrels one time, and then after the barrels are done, they sell them. But their biggest customer for the barrels is the people in England and Scotland and so forth, Scotch. I guess Macallan, pretty popular or kind of high dollar Scotch. Well, I guess most Scotch, if it's very good, is high dollar. But most of the folks in England actually purchase those barrels from Wild Turkey, and that's what they store that Scotch in, because some of that Scotch is 20 and 30 year old stuff, pretty expensive. So anyway.
That's pretty cool.
There.
I know we went to Puerto Rico on a cruise and went to Bacardi. And they buy all their barrels used, too. They buy old whiskey barrels, and that's what they store their, depending on the grade,
right,
what they store their rum in. So,
yeah,
they get reused. I'd imagine they do, because those barrels are not cheap to make. And, I mean, it's all handmade, so it's probably good that they can sell them.
Yeah, I'm sure. Of course, obviously with Jack Daniels, it's got to be pretty popular. The wood chips, and of course the actual wood blocks. I guess they cut that up in little squares. I don't know, 3x3 or 4x4 squares or whatever. And of course you pull them out of the bag, you can kind of, it's not like real distinct, but you can kind of get a little smell of that with that whiskey in there. And then, It's pretty good.
Oh yeah.
I know when the most amazing thing to me was when we went up there to the Jack Daniels and had a similar experience at Wild Turkey, but it wasn't near as much. But they had the huge vats in there, and I think we were like the last tour of the day. I never forget, we had this guy named Sammy. Man, he was a trip. And so well, it was about 25, 30 of us, I guess, on the tour or whatever. So we got up there where I guess it was being processed and goes through the mash and all. And I had this huge, for lack of a better word, lid on there, made out of wood. And, of course, they had like a place probably about 3x3 or whatever, where there was like a little plug. And, of course, they'd come in and taste and check and so forth. But anyway, it took about 3 or 4 of us, and that thing was kind of hinged. And we picked that thing up, and he told us to kind of fan it to kind of get the air coming from it. And, man, you got a buzz off of it. I couldn't believe it. But that actual air coming off that mash or whatever, I mean, you're sitting there breathing it in, and we did it about 2 or 3 times, and you literally got a little buzz off of it. That's what he told us. So I'll never forget that. That was pretty. That's something Wild Turkey, but theirs was a little bit different process, and you could kind of smell it, but it wasn't near the effect that it was at Jack Daniels. Anyway, that's it. Neat little place. Nobody's ever been up there. It's a neat little tour, I guess, whether you're a drinker or not. I think it's kind of interesting to go through and find out about the process. They do a nice job with that tour and the history and so forth. So
that's the coolest part about doing those tours. I mean, it's not the making of it's pretty standard everywhere you go. You mash it in and all that kind of stuff. It's the same with liquor and beer and all that, but the history of the product is what's pretty cool. And, Bacardi, they got ran out of Cuba. And, they talked about that. That was their homeland, and they couldn't brew there anymore. And so they moved to Puerto Rico and just went from there. But they're an old brand, too. They've been around a long time. And, they got good rum, man. Ain't no doubt about it. I got some because, when you go to these places, if you can buy it at them, I know like Jack Daniels and stuff is a dry county, so you can't buy there, but you can, Bacardi, you can buy there, and man, it was cheap, so I think I brought back 8 bottles of rum with me, and it was worth it.
Yeah, they had a nice little, we got a tasting at the Wild Turkey, and of course, at Jack Daniels, but yeah, that's what I was telling Jen, I'd love to hear if I got on, but unless they changed it, when I was there, doing the tour of 7, 8, 9, whatever it was years ago, they had permission from the city of Lynchburg that the city council had actually given them the rights to sell two different bottles, and it was like a special reserve type bottle they could sell. It's the only stuff they could sell. It had to be one of those. And I bought a bottle for my dad for Christmas that year. One of the things I got him, and I never forget my dad. I mean, all he'd ever talk about was that bottle was the best liquor he'd ever had. I mean, it was so smooth, so good. But it was like it's one of those that been aged a lot longer and so forth, and the filtering, the process, how they distill it and all. But it's interesting, especially now. I've seen a lot of Wild Turkey commercials. That guy, Jimmy Russell or whatever, the guy's been doing it for 60 years. And what a job, huh, to be the taste tester for Wild Turkey for 60 years. Surprised the guy's still alive how he does that. But
yeah, doesn't have cirrhosis.
Isn't that amazing? The guy's been doing it for 60 years. Like, man, that dude's tough now. But, yeah, it's wild. I mean, the Wild Turkey, quite honestly, was kind of, it was kind of just, so-so in a bad way. Just like, it wasn't a lot to it, really. It was it's amazing, and what's interesting I found up there is we toured the we did Jim Beam and Maker's Mark about 4 or 6 years ago, I guess, as well, going up on football, and all of them up there, evidently it's because of the climate and the temperatures and all, they've got these they just look like they look like apartment buildings, and it's just these old, almost looks like just old brick buildings. And for whatever reason, I think all of them are, I don't know the reason why, it's like they're 7 stories high. But anyway, and they have just a ton of windows in them, And I say it looks like an apartment building with all these windows. But evidently, depending on the time of year, the way the air moves through the building and out through the top is a way that kind of helps us as it ages and distills. And supposedly when it's hotter, they open up all the windows there to help the air flow better. And then when it's cooler, they don't have as many open. But, you know, it's a process, and there's a rhyme and a reason about how many windows and all they open. But the three or four places I've been to so far in the state of Kentucky, they all got those old warehouses. And I guess for whatever reason, they never found a better way to do it. So that's what that stuff is stored in the barrels in. I mean, it's just these huge rooms. You go in there, and there's these huge rooms. There's barrels everywhere, and you go up the next floor, and that's all it is. So, you know, basically all you got is like forklifts in there that, you know, move up between the floors, moving those barrels. Other than that, that's all there is to the place. Interesting how they do that. I never would have thought that, you know, you would thought it'd been some other special process or something, but I mean, they're just storing them in barrels in these old buildings, and it just sits there, and, you know, they go and course check them and so forth. But interesting how they do
that. Pretty hands-on. They don't have those, you know, at Bacardi. It's just warehouses, you know, because it's basically 72, 78 degrees there and humid all year. So they just rotate the barrels through the building. But, yeah, I mean, it's surprising how hands-on it still is.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was, you know, I'm always kind of wanting to ask different questions and all. The one thing that amazed me, you know, obviously the number one seller for wild turkey, you know, was the wild turkey. Not the 101, I guess, but the Lester Proof. But the second largest seller for wild turkey is that American Honey. Well, I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, and not like the wild turkey has a lot of different things they sell, but they got a pretty good amount of stuff. But yeah, the wild turkey, American Honey, was the number two seller for them. I thought that was kind of interesting. And in fact, they've got a new one coming out when we're over there at the end at the little makeshift bar they got, and they kind of talk about the, you know, the different things they have and so forth. I was talking to the guy there, and you know, they only give you like two shots. You know, they don't want anybody, you know, getting hammered there, so you're only supposed to get two.
Yeah.
So I sat there and just kind of struck up a conversation with a guy, chit chatting this, that, and the other. And the guy was like, yeah, you know, we got a new flavor coming out. He said it hadn't even hit the stores yet and all. He said, we've been tasting testing it once in a while. But they got a wild turkey American Honey, and I think the guy, I don't know how they're going to name it, but it's got a little bit of ghost pepper in it. So he gave me a shot of that, and that was pretty doggone good. So basically it was that American Honey, you know, with that you know, that little bit of sweetness and nice little flavor. And then kind of at the end, it's got that little pop of that pepper, you know, almost like a barbecue sauce, you know, and you taste it. And then kind of at the end, it kind of like, man, that's got a good little pop in there. I like that. Same thing with that American Honey. Pretty neat little taste. So, you know, being a look at, I think maybe toward the end of the year, maybe around the holidays, you're probably going to see that one coming out. But man, that was good stuff as well. So I guess people didn't know we turned into a liquor late night show now. So
listen, I'll always talk about alcohol and sex, whatever you want to do.
What do you think about that, Gene? Can you do that, man?
Oh yeah, you know I can.
I didn't know Gene Culverson was on here.
He is there. He's in the background. He's just taking all this in.
Yeah, I'm
sure
Gene's been learning.
Go ahead.
It ain't gonna be long. You're gonna have to start paying him for these appearances. You know that, right?
Is that what's gonna happen?
Yeah,
we're on a pretty low budget here at Old Oak Togo's Barbecue, a radio show. I'll be honest with you, we're pretty low.
It wouldn't take much. If you could just teach him how to cook ribs, he'd probably be happy.
That would do it. Yeah, that would do it.
Well, I'm glad you got on here.
What's coming up this weekend? I tell you the truth, I had a chance to look at the schedule. Is there a couple of contests this weekend? SCBA? I didn't even. I'm gonna be out of town, so I didn't even take a look. What's coming up this weekend? I think one of them is one of them Anderson.
I think that's the only one.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay, I thought it was two of them this weekend. Whatever reason. So
I
they got
the
trophy.
Yeah, Brad called me earlier. I think they're going to have about 16 teams so far.
I'm curious, why is it called the Trojan Cook-Off? Kind of interesting name. Anybody got any specifics on that?
Don't ask Gene. It'll get nasty.
I mean, it's kind of an interesting name, don't you think, the Trojan Cook-Off? I mean, I don't think – I'm trying to think there's any teams up in Anderson that are the Trojans, and I don't know of anybody. I mean, it's not – I think West Side's the Yellow Jackets. Trying to think, there's one other high school up there. Teal Hannah, maybe. One of them is Yellow Jackets. But, so I don't think there's any. And I know there used to be a junior college up there, but I don't think they're the Trojans. So, And Gene, how about get back into that, man? I got to get that answer. I'm kind of curious about that. Find out about that before, man. You know me, I'm always a stats guy or something like info guy. I got to get these things behind the scenes. So, I wonder what the thing is about the actual Trojan cook-off. That's an interesting one.
He wants to know if there's a school named that or if they manufacture condoms up there, Gene. That's all he wants to know.
I'm sorry I missed the contest. If that's what it is, I'll be honest with you. I hate I missed it. That's pretty cool, though. So they got about 16 teams. We're good there. That's a good is it just me? Does it seem like in the fall that it hadn't been quite the turnout in the contest and in the spring to you guys? I mean, it seemed like we had more teams competing usually in the spring, or I say in the spring, from February to, say, May, I guess, whatever.
Everybody's broke now.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think, James? It seemed like less teams,
it's just like Kershaw. You know, it was on the same weekend as Jackson, and Jackson was not but 30 minutes from my house, and I hate they canceled that a little bit, but like I said, we done said it 100,000 times. If they just quit stacking these good cook-offs on the same weekend, some of these other teams can get a chance to go to them.
You got football and all, and of course, you got it's amazing all the fall sports now. I don't know, some people got kids involved, and man, you got basketball coming up for long, and then you got fall baseball, and hey, you still got travel ball baseball, you got travel ball softball, so much stuff going on as well. It seems like it's not, we got the same amount of contests, or pretty much week after week, but it just doesn't seem quite the amount of teams that are all competing, so I just wondering what your guys' thoughts were as well. I mean, this is kind of, it's kind of prime time now with the weather and all. Especially, it's a shame there wasn't a contest in South Carolina this past weekend. That's about as good as it gets weather-wise this past weekend. Well, that was nice.
I cooked this weekend for my father-in-law. He had a big wagon ride. They actually riding on through Wednesday. But we had, I think, 19 wagons on Saturday and 21 yesterday.
Now, what I saw that posted there. Now you got to educate me on this. Where do they ride to? Where do they come from, and then where do they ride to?
Tisa's dad's got a little farm there in Ward, South Carolina, and what they'll do, they'll leave out and go one way, leave out at 9 o'clock in the morning, then ride about lunchtime, eating lunch, and then they'll ride, 4 or 5 o'clock, come on back in that afternoon. Then the next day they'll ride out and go a different way. I mean, it's just so much country out there.
I got you. They're not actually going to camp, they're just riding and then coming back at night.
Yeah, they'll ride anywhere from 18 to 25 miles on a day, and then come back, and then they'll grill some steaks, one night. I think we done catfish stew Friday night. Then I cooked a bunch of barbecue Saturday. I done practice cook on some chicken thighs and cooked a bunch of rib tips, and we fed about 70 people Saturday night, so we had a good crowd.
Good. Yeah. Huh. I saw about the riding part, and that's what I was wondering. I thought, what would they ride to? And I wonder if they camped out and all and so forth. So, that's pretty cool. So
yeah, they do.
They
just come out there, bring their horse trailers and some. I mean, a couple of them brought motorhomes and had the horse trailer behind the motorhomes.
Damn, that's cheating now, man. Bring a motorhome. Damn.
But that was pretty interesting. I mean, they do it 4 times a year.
Pretty cool. I didn't realize it's something like that. So that's pretty neat there. That's a pretty good long ride. I didn't realize, got 25 miles. That's a pretty good little ride right there. I don't think you're rolling that fast, I don't think. Pulling the wagon, I'm sure you're kind of putting along there.
About 4 miles, 4 miles an hour usually.
Hour, yeah. Good deal. That's pretty cool there. If it was this weekend, you couldn't have had better weather any better to do that, that's for sure. Man, it was just gorgeous out there this weekend. Perfect. Got a little chill in the air at night. you know, about as good as you get, really, isn't it? Super nice. Well, what is the when is the SCBA has a do they not have an end of is it the first in January when they actually have the I guess a meeting again?
I don't know. I never went to one of them.
I'd be curious. I hope there'll be some discussion or, you know, some good info back and forth to. You know, there's always room for improvement, you know, obviously. So I hope they'll, you know, with these contests coming up for 2015, you know, do a better job, or, you know, with the, you know, coordinate with these folks and, you know, get the contest spread out where it helps everybody and get good participation and good for the contest. And so I hope they'll, you know, try to work with these contests and then maybe the contest too, you know. I guess they can, you know, it's kind of like golf tournaments in Aiken, you know, at year after year, people kind of start to, you know, call the other tournaments and say, hey, when's your tournament going to be, and this, that, and the other, so, because all it does is hurt, you know, somebody. If you got two tournaments on one day, even though there's a lot of people in Aiken, it still kind of hurts you. So I would think the same thing with the contest. Maybe some of the contests will start recognizing I know, like Lynn Sullivan over in Jackson, I mean, that was a pretty recent one, but I know she was kind of trying to pay attention to the other contests and making sure that, you know, there wasn't too much scheduled on her day. You know, of course, I think that's unfortunate sometimes that some people get these things, they get a day set, it looks like a great day, and then it gets into the year and all, and then, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, there's another contest and another contest. So, I wish they would set it up where they, you know, at least they just have, you know, two contests. Hey, hang on a second. Let me bring Lee, you there?
Yeah, my bad, man. I hit the wrong button.
Sorry. No problem. But, yeah, you know, I wish they, you know, if they could get, and I know they don't want to ever turn out a contest, but, you know, hey, if somebody, you've already got two contests a day, I mean, just tell the people, hey, you know, we already got two contests that day. If you got another date, you can work it out. And if you can't work it out, you know, if it's just got to be that date, whatever, but, you know, if you at least put it out there that, you know, trying to stay away from, you know, more than two in a day, or, you know, quite honestly, just one works a lot better, obviously. But I wish to, hopefully they'll work more toward that to, I think, again, from the contest aspect, from the Cougars aspect, from the judges, I think it works better for all concerned. So I hope maybe somebody bring it up at the meeting or talk to them or get some discussion going. I think that would be a good thing, personally. But I know we beat that horse down.
You definitely got more running for the points this year since they changed it.
Yeah. Is this the first year this way, or is this the second year?
This is the second year.
Second year, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll be honest with you. I'm trying to remember now. So refresh my memory. I don't know if we were really cooking that much. What was the old? What was the old system, Gene? How did that work?
If you won it, I think you got 20 points. And then as you went down, you know, it dropped to 18, then, you know, 16, 14. You know, I think they took that, you know, top 10.
Okay.
Yep. That's right.
And then the more you cook, the more points you get. And, of course, you know, it ends up at the end of the year. So this here just gives everybody a – you know, you can cook 12. You can be in the runnings. Instead of you having to cook 30 cook-offs to try to be in the top 10, you know.
Yeah. So, in other words, now, the previous system really almost, I guess in some ways, rewarded somebody just for cooking a bunch of contests.
Yep.
Where this one, you do have to at least, you know, compete X amount, that being, I guess that number being 12. But puts it more on a maybe level playing field, I guess, for lack of a better word. That's probably got a better way to put it. But yeah,
because
if you cook every one of them and got in the top 10, you're going to get points every time.
Right.
Because if it was just based on amount of cook-offs, Doka would have it locked up. But, you know, he's got to do better.
He was a cooking machine, I know, for the first part of the year.
He ain't missed a week. I think he missed one cook-off, and that's because he was That was last weekend because he was out in South Dakota, North Dakota, something duck hunting. But he hadn't missed a weekend. He's been somewhere cooking.
Yeah, they've cooked. I don't know. I mean, how many has he cooked? 16, 17? I don't have any idea. I'm just taking a guess. But I'm sure he's probably cooked 16, 17 contests. And I guess that's pretty strong.
He's done yet. I know he's going to Anderson. He's going to do Ridgeway. He's going to do Darlington. And then I don't know, you know, between Florence and Conway, which one. But I'm sure he'll be at one of those, too. So.
And then there's another.
Fort Dorchester. I think he's going to do that one, too.
Now, that's the one down in Charleston, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, he's putting time in this year.
He'll end up doing probably 20 contests then, or close to it, I bet. Wow.
I'd like to see him, you know, finish in the top three because he's put his time in this year, and he's, you know, he's
no doubt about
consistent.
It.
You know, he's almost always second place, so I'd like to see him do something this year. I know you like to see people that put that kind of time and effort into it get rewarded, but you got like Gene and Jeff that just come on fire at the end of the year and you can't do nothing with them. So what do you do? I mean, Gene, I don't know what he's doing. I think he's sprinkling crack on his barbecue.
That's what I've heard.
I'm warming up that ketchup.
You talking about?
Yeah.
No, I know Gene ain't giving away any ketchup. He uses that on his steak and everything else. So, but I mean, I'm happy for Gene too. Jeff's on fire too, you know. But I don't know what got into Gene the last part of the year. But he's hitting it pretty hard too. So I think it's gonna be between them three. You know, him, Jeff, and hopefully Doko will be up there all smoked up. I don't know. I don't know how many low scores Gene and Jeff have to drop, but I know Gene's got a couple more he can get rid of. But I don't know about Jeff. I hadn't looked, and I don't know what's happened all smoked up the last few cookouts. But I don't know what they've done, but it's turned a 180 on them. So. Mm-hmm. Dean and Jeff got a lot more scores to drop. They may be in trouble, too.
Like I said, all you do is cook it, turn it in, and it's left up to the judges. Because, like I said, it can be in your favor, you know, week in, week out. And the next thing you know, you can be a zero.
Yep.
So all you can do is cook it, turn it in, and do the best you can do, and go to have a good time.
But this happened to Gene 2 years ago. He came on fire at the end of the year. You know, he got – one smoking on water, then he won Kershaw, then he finished second or third in Ridgeway. He was, at the end of the year, he's always picking it up at the end of the year. I guess he's going back to what he knows works instead of trying all this new crap he does throughout the year.
You been talking to Tito?
No, I've been around you, I know.
Oh.
He's been around you.
Oh, this didn't hit one time. I'm going to change my sauce, my rub, my wood, my grill, and everything. It didn't hit one time. I'm changing it all.
Yeah. It ain't the smoker, if I can tell you that.
Yeah, I know it ain't. It ain't never the smoker. It ain't never the smoker. Tony can get second places on Weber's all the time. You know, Trey did it too, and I don't know what Pimp My Pig's using now, but I imagine it's still Weber Smoky Mountains, but... If you can cook on, you don't need a $5,000 and $10,000 cooker to win. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's isn't that what Dean just cooked on? Just on the WSM. Is that what he cooks on?
They do. They got two big ones and a small one.
Wow, that's just like what's the cat out in California?
Flap Your Daddy.
Yeah, is that all he does still? I mean, I know at one time.
That's all he's got, two Webers.
Wow. You know, you think about it, man. A cook a KCBS and cook, you know, because once you got the system down, you know, that's fine. But when you think about it, man, that's a lot. I mean, you got to really have your timing down, just almost perfect, cooking a KCBS event. Because when you think about that, I mean, I think about what I try to cook for a KCBS. I'm like, damn. How are you getting all that stuff on those two damn smokers?
Slap Your Mama, Slap Your Daddy. What's the one that...
Slap Your Daddy. Yeah,
Slap Your Daddy.
I mean, he only cooks like $2, one brisket. I mean, I mean, he's got it down to.
He's got no margin of error, basically, because, I mean, you figure two
bucks.
No, he doesn't. I mean, he can't. I mean, they got to be, you know, I guess if, you know, if something's crude, he just don't do well in a contest. I mean, you figure, I mean, I used to cook four. I would think most guys cook four butts, but, you know, quite honestly, with what he's got, he can't, he don't have the space to cook four butts probably. He just can't do it.
But you know what? If you look at the guys out west and the ones that don't cook pork a lot, they don't cook a lot of pork because they don't pull all the different cuts out of it. Everybody out there takes out chunks and money muscles. That's what they turn in. They don't turn in three or four different cuts of meat like we do.
Yeah, and that's true. And that's a good point. I mean, that's, and that probably allows him or makes it, well, I don't know if easy is the right word, but, you know, that simplifies it for him doing the pork, obviously. That's a good point. Because, yeah, you think just $2. I mean, damn. Well, I don't guess he'll be coming to SCBA cooking, will he? Because he, I mean, he ain't going to be able to cook six, $8, is he?
No, he wouldn't. he wouldn't do well anyway if he did.
Yeah, yeah, it's a totally different type of stuff. Exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's pretty strong. You got to have the system down.
Wait, don't let cook, Chris.
Probably for us, not much of nothing. We just mainly be football and catering the rest of the year. Other than
you going
we'll be
to
cooking
it.
No, that's the same day. That's the same day as the SBN event. They've got Munt's Corner.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
We qualified for the top 12 deals, so we're
15,000 miles.
Yeah, I mean it's 10,000 in first place. So you know if it. You know, it wouldn't have been that big of a grand prize. I'd like to cook at Darling just because we missed it last year. It just sounds like a really fun event, and they do a nice job with it. But kind of hard to turn down a chance to cook for $10,000. You only got 12 teams, so you know, 1 in 12 shots usually. I'll take my chances. So
I get 3,500 second place.
Well, we're gonna finish top 12. I feel pretty good about that. So I think we'll be okay.
Yeah,
I like
3,500 and 1,500 for third.
Yeah, I think the thing I like about it too, unless they changed it or I misunderstood, I think it's a four meet contest. They're doing all four meets like a KCBS. I think that's my understanding.
I think from what I heard, they're supplying the meat too, aren't they?
They are. That's another thing I liked about it. I mean, it's kind of hard to.
Wow.
I mean, hell, other than I ain't seen what the entry is yet. I hope the entry is not like $800 or something. I mean, I don't know. That'll be the little thing. Well, we didn't tell you guys that. The entry is no, but yeah, I was told that it was four meat and they're supplying all the meat. And I was thinking, I was like, damn, where did I mean? Who's? I mean, that's. I mean, you figure. Now, of course, you got to imagine. I guess it's only 12 teams, but then it's it's four meats. So that's a lot of that's a pretty good cost there. And then you figure they're spending. But hell, they're spending $17,000-$18,000 between all of your. And all your meat probably and the winnings and so forth. That's pretty amazing.
Yep, that's a $1,500 entry fee.
Yeah, probably they didn't let me know about that yet. That's
the deadline was last Friday.
Yeah, well, I got news for them. it's the only thing I've seen. I was in first place most of the year, then all of a sudden it got toward the end and I lost 15 points somehow. I didn't even call and ask him about it. I was like, I ain't gonna worry about it. I ended up, I guess, second in the standings. I thought, well, it don't matter. All you gotta do is end
as
up
as long as you're
12,
in.
So. Yeah, it don't matter. So I thought, I ain't even call. I ain't gonna worry about it. What matters is what you do on whatever that day is. So yeah, anyway, that'll be our next cook. We actually got a lot of catering stuff. I got a catering job tomorrow. Got one Thursday, and then we got a couple the following week. We got three next week. So been pretty busy. So
how many are in Columbia? For us.
Pretty much all of them.
That's my favorite.
No, I'm kidding. They ain't in Columbia. Actually, there is one in Columbia, but you know who it is? Strange enough, it's
no.
The soccer baseball team called me back up. I'm gonna cook for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually, the day of the it's kind of cool how it works out. Quite honestly, it's the day of the Pig on the Ridge, you know, Friday and Saturday, and I'd already decided not to cook in that because we actually have two catering jobs that Friday, and then actually called me today and said would I be interested in cooking for the baseball team, and they have like a having some new recruits in and so forth, and they want to entertain them, feed them, and then take them to the football game. So it works out good for us. The game is at 7:30 that night, and they want us to serve them at 12. So, man, we're just going to go up there first thing in the morning and have the butts ready and park there by the baseball park and feed them. And then should all only be about a mile from my parking spot at football. So we'll get there probably about 1:30, and the game's not 7:30. So works out good for us. So looking forward to that. So,
but well, that's all. Give me your protection fee before you come up here.
You want me to sign those over to you Ridgeway. On that Friday.
You just put the cash in the mailbox.
What's that, Gene?
Hey, Chris, you serve them down at Blackwood tomorrow since they don't serve during the week, ain't you?
Yeah, we're gonna start working that area too. We figure what the heck.
He has to get away from Aiken because he's got too many people down there catering already between you and Dwayne.
Yeah.
He ain't got no chance down there, so.
I got to go make some money and pay some bills, man.
That's funny. I'm getting off of here after all that bullshit, and I'm gonna eat some dinner. So.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, guys. I see we done hit the 9 o'clock hour here. I got to go prep a couple butts and eat a little dinner myself. But appreciate you guys calling in, having a good time as always. My main man Lee Morris over there in Irmo, South Carolina, Blowing Smoke LLC, and our good friend Mr. Gene Culverson, Backwoods Barbecue out of the big town of Trenton, South Carolina. Appreciate you guys calling in, so best of luck to you guys if you're competing this weekend or with any catering endeavors. But look forward to talking with everybody next week. Hope everybody has a great week out there. Hope this nice weather continues all for us. Certainly right. I'll try to come back with both of my butt cheeks from Auburn. I don't think I'm going to have a good chance at that, though.
Mm-mm.
Taking on the Auburn Tyburns, my Gamecocks. So we're going to go down and have a time nonetheless, show them how we tailgate. Probably need to load up plenty of that Jack Daniels that we've been talking about tonight so that I can kind of take that the pain away somewhat. But, again, appreciate you guys calling in tonight and having a good time. And best of luck to all those cooking and events this weekend. And, best of luck to those folks cooking up there at the Jack Daniels. So, everybody have a great week. And I'm sitting here killing a little time because I can't find my dang closeout song here. What is wrong with the? I got to tell Derek, I got too many songs loaded up in here. Okay. Anybody want a hum or whistle a tune? Or anybody got. Harry, hang on a second. Oh, I'm about to find it. There's only like 1,000 songs in this damn album. Here we go. We're going to close it out. We'll talk to you guys next week. Go Cox.
All right, man.